All right, good afternoon. Get ready to laugh and learn here on Good News in Real Estate. I'm Mark Cumberland, along with my co-host, the mortgage mom, Deanne Katsaris. How are you, Deanne?
I'm doing great, Mark. How are you?
I'm very, very good.
Excellent.
And we're here on WWDB 860 every Friday from 1 to 2. This is like the 560th show or so. If you want to ask us a question about real estate, commercial, residential, whatever, mortgages, give me a call at 267-266-5501. And what's your number, Deanne?
My number is 609-605-7153.
And we're here to keep you informed every week, help in any way we can with your real estate needs. You can listen to this show and past shows at WWDB's site or at goodnewsandrealestate.com. And you're allowed to call us. So what's coming up today, Deanne?
Coming on today's show, Mark, is the Market Report,
right?
Which is sponsored by the Philadelphia Real Estate Classes. Get a license now.
2019.
Can't believe we're here. Also, we have our business tips with Asking Dr. A.
Yes.
Of course, we have Mark's funny story.
Got one for you.
And we have our mortgage mom topic.
Which is?
USDA financing.
Ooh, I feel it.
Mark, we also have our questions. I need to find an agent where they have houses for sale in Singapore.
I got a tip for this one.
I think I should go there and help them out. Does real estate sold to settle an estate usually sell for a low price?
Good question.
Next question is, real estate law is enforced by who?
That's a good one.
Next question is, when you co-sign for a loan on real estate, does your name go onto the title of the property?
All right.
We have, do condominiums need property management companies?
All right.
And many more. And Mark, today our guest is Maureen Breen, and she's with Philadelphia Backyard Chickens. And she's here to talk about bringing back the backyard chickens.
I'm interested in this topic.
Try to say that three times fast.
I know. So anyway,
And today's topic, four ways to conquer your fears and take smarter risks.
All right.
But first, give us your motivational quote.
And the motivational quote is, the greater danger for most of us is not that our aim is too high and we miss it, but that it is too low and we hit it.
All day long.
We'll be right back after this.
Today, there are literally billions of users on social media. What, if anything, are you doing to tap into this vast market of home buyers and sellers? Can't decide whether Facebook or Twitter or Snapchat is the right place to promote your real estate business? Heard about Facebook ads for businesses, but don't know what to do to get started. If this sounds like you, then check out City Blast, the world's largest social media agency for real estate professionals. As often as you choose and customize to your market, City Blast's social experts post engaging articles, videos, and listings to your Facebook, Facebook business page, Twitter, and LinkedIn accounts. They've helped thousands of agents get leads through social media with their patented Never Lose a Lead service and can help you build your social media profile and market your listings online. Find them online at cityblast.com or call 1-888-712-7888. Again, that's cityblast.com or 1-888-712-7888. Use promo code Philly.
Hey, welcome back to Good News in Real Estate, all positive all the time here on WWDB 860 AM.
You've only said that 560 some times, right?
Probably more than that. I'm starting to catch up, man. I don't know where we're at. So where are we at?
Mark, we are up to the market report.
There's the bell. Everybody's talking about this market, realtors, the public doesn't even know what the hell is going on here. But most real estate markets there, they're off a little bit. They've been a little slow the last month and a half, due to a lot of issues. I think holidays coming up, Thanksgiving got there, lack of inventory, the rates went up a little bit, but it's still a great time to buy. It's probably the best time to buy since the 50s. The rates are low. The consumer index is really low. That determines how much money people have to spend. So I think going forward, we're going to be fine. But anyway, we don't see anything that causes a big downturn at the moment. You know, all these real estate agents, we're still in a bull market with the real estate. Our problem is what?
Inventory.
Yeah, it's been a problem for a couple of years. We've been talking about it. We are on the longest expansion in history of the United States with real estate. Simple logic says something's going to change somewhere soon. The question is when? Is it going to be soon or is it going to be 2020? I think we have a 5 to 8 year run here, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you've been saying that.
There's going to be some hills and valleys, but it's going to be longer than people think. Now you have a little rate hike and then the rates dropped again. But even with the Fed raising next year, the ripple effect, we're at historic lows.
You know, people, don't wait. Number one, don't wait. And don't be afraid that the rates are going up. They're going to go up. They're going to go back down. They're going to go up.
Right.
And you need to do the math to figure out what that difference is. Whether it's an eighth or a quarter or a half a point, just know what that is.
Right. And I'll tell you, if it wasn't for the internet now, because we didn't have, back in, like, when I got my license in the mid-2000s.
Come on.
No,
didn't
but
have
we,
electricity.
Well, we didn't have this 24-hour news cycle.
Right.
You know, like, the president sneezes and the stock market loses 300 points and then, you know, he says something good and it goes up 500 points. It's like we didn't have that kind of information. But, you know, anyway, you know, for a buyer purchasing, say, a $200,000 single-family home, the different cost between a 4% and a 5% interest rate on a 30 is less than $200 a month.
Right.
Now, it's a jump paying maybe $950 to $1,100.
And there's no reason to say that you can't buy that rate down.
Right.
So you can pay a point, which is 1%. As long as you're going to get your money back over a period of 2 years, then it makes sense. And if you're going to stay in the house for at least 5 to 7 years, buy the rate down.
And then you came up with that trick that we used a few times where the guy puts they put a little cash up front and knock that PMI payment off.
Right. And that's exactly, my son Tommy is buying a home that we're going to settle in a couple months. And that's exactly what we did. He's got a great credit score, putting 5% down. It's a $250,000 purchase. And the mortgage insurance is $2,300.
Right.
It's $2,300. It's a tax deduction. There's no MI. And he doesn't have to refi again.
What's
when there's 20%.
What's his monthly on 250?
It was, the monthly came out to be like $84 and some change.
Is this in Jersey?
It is in Jersey. Man, don't ask me what the taxes are.
You did that to your kid? He could have crossed that little piece of water and
that's
got in PA. And,
what did I ask you yesterday? I said, find
me
a duplex.
I'm looking.
All right.
I'm looking. But you know, now if the rates go from 5 to 8%, but that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
And actually, just so that we said it on the last show, but historically, the average rate over historic terms is 8%. And we're way under that. I think what's going to happen is they're, at first the Fed was talking a little while ago about having 4 or 5 increases in 19, and now they're coming to their senses. They're going to do this one and then wait and see what happens. That's like, I'm going to buy a couple extra tires for my car in case, wait and see what happens. Now, if you got a Mercedes like you, might be a good idea to buy a few tires.
Warranty program. Oh, thank you.
You, Alan, and two
I've
other people I know went
times.
Through three tires last year.
Absolutely.
You sort of get together and buy them by the dozen, probably cheaper.
I'm ahead of the game. Thank you. I'm good.
So anyway, these interest rates are still really attractive, put into historical context. And a 30-year mortgage, you know, the average life is 6 years. So we are having some of the best times. This is the best economy I have ever seen. And I see little tells. Like a simple one was the Burger King across from my Remax office.
Yeah, you were saying that. Yep.
They closed it for 2.5 months. And then I went over there, and they fixed it up and all.
But nothing major?
Yeah, but a Whopper was $9.63. I was like, whoa. When she told me $9.63, I went for a Whopper.
Oh, my God.
She went, yep. So we won't be eating too many Whoppers. I'd rather go to a diner and have a full meal.
Right.
But anyway, consumers have gotten really used to like these really low interest rates that we've been enjoying for like the last 10 years.
Right.
So now, actually, it could be a good thing in a way, because if the rates go over 5 a little bit, the media might talk about the real estate industry and people will get some urgency and make a move. Because there's a ton of people right now that are sitting at home, 40% of Philly rents, that are sitting at home and thinking about moving and are going to have these conversations over the holidays, but they don't know what's going on. And I hear every once in a while, I hear somebody said, I went to see Kenny Queter over at the Ashburn Arena over the weekend. And of course, somebody starts talking to me, real estate comes up, and I told him the script. Probably the best time to buy since the 50s.
Sure.
Apples to apples. It's actually cheaper to buy a house today than it was in 1989. And then it's even a better time to sell. There's no inventory. If you put a house on the market, price right shows right, it's going to be sold in days, not weeks, months, days. Right. And they're like, really? Really? They don't know.
Yeah.
Because the media doesn't talk about it. So all this stuff about the slowing down, and I saw a good map the other day, and where it slowed down a little bit was all on the West Coast, part of Seattle, California, Arizona. It was where they were appreciating so fast, prices went up so much, everybody has paused a little bit. But our market's not slowing down.
No, it's not.
Philly Metro, they even mentioned it in there that we're like just on a roll. If our city government would get out of the way and help out a little bit, we'd be in a lot better shape. But
it's, you know. I mean, you know, since I was out of the business for, let's say, 30 days, 30 to 45 days just recently. And, you know, I finally got my act together since my dad had passed. And I am like both feet on the ground, full steam ahead. And once I said that, the floodgates have opened. And I mean, I am so busy.
I told you that was going to happen.
Actually, I got to go because I got calls I got to make. But but I have a whole plan. And if we have a little time, I'll let you know what that is.
You're
going to
hire a couple more people?
I'm going to hire a couple more people. But I have a business plan that is going to knock it out of the park. And I am so excited.
Very good.
It's all about educating the buyers and making sure they know exactly.
And definitely hire one or two more.
I will.
In 19. And let, and don't use your heart. Use the disc.
The disc. I know. Well, I got my son coming on board, so I'm using my heart and my disc. How's that?
You got to use the disc. All right. So I'm very optimistic. And Chris Summers, he just sold. They're all sold at
Frankfort
Allegheny. He just sold the last of the 154 units. They're all sold.
That's crazy. Good for him.
And they were, what, 324?
Yeah, and up.
Yeah. Yep. At Frankfort and Lehigh. I said, so where are you going now? I said, north. And he just, like, laughed about it.
They got to talk about the
I know
Girard,
he's going somewhere.
Girard area.
Well, he's above that already.
Yeah.
So it's going to go north.
That was an awesome segment.
All right.
And that segment was sponsored by the Philadelphia Real Estate Classes. Get your real estate license now. There's no excuse. You have a location in Center City, Mount Airy, and Northeast Philadelphia. And I just saw online you have all your classes posted.
Yep.
So you can give them a call at 215-335-6919 or go right online to PhiladelphiaRealEstateClasses.com.
All right. So tell us about the rates.
The rates. 30-year conventional, 4.875. Your 15-year is 4.25. FHA 30-year fixed, 4.5%.
That's great.
It's fabulous. It's fabulous. Jumbo, did I say it was fabulous?
Yes.
Jumbo fixed is 4.42%, and your 5/1 ARM is 4.69%.
Wow, remember like 2 years ago, they were at like 2-something, the 5-year ARMs, and now they're at the highest rate.
Right, 2.75, yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
Yep. So Mark, tell us your funny story.
So here's the story. So Bill and Barbara, they go out for dinner to celebrate their 50th anniversary. Bill was a broker. Owned his own office. So after a couple of glasses of wine, Bill says to Barbara, he goes, you know, I just want to ask you, after 50 years, he goes, have you ever cheated on me?
Oh, my God.
And she goes, no, of course not. He goes, no, if you had, it's okay, because it's in the past. I was just curious. She goes, well, he goes, well, what? She goes, well, remember back about 28 years ago, you thought you were going to get laid off from that development company you were working for? He goes, yeah, I remember that. He goes, I sure glad they kept me on. She goes, well, I paid a little visit to your boss, if you remember, and everybody got laid off but you. He goes, you didn't. She goes, yeah, I did, but it was for you. He goes, well, that's okay, you know. Were there any others? She goes, well. He goes, well. She goes, do you remember 10 years ago when you needed that heart bypass surgery and the only qualified surgeon in the area was Dr. Anderson, and he was completely booked and wouldn't take you? He goes, yeah, I remember that. She goes, well, I talked him into taking you. He goes, you mean you? He goes, yeah, but I saved your life. He goes, I guess that's all right, because you did save my life. He goes, there weren't any more, were there? She goes, well. He goes, well, what? He goes, well, you remember you were running for the president of the local chapter, the Board of Realtors, and you were only 27 votes short?
If you have a funny story you'd like to hear on our show, send it to 8029@comcast.net or give us a call at 267-266-5501.
And coming up next will be the mortgage segment with the mortgage mom, Deanne Katsaris, and our topic is USDA financing. Moo. I almost got it. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Mark Cumberland from Good News in Real Estate Show. I also represent buyers and sellers in the residential and commercial market. My number is 267-266-5501. I have years of experience dealing with buyers and sellers and teaching real estate. Just so you know, it's probably the best time to buy since the 50s. The consumer index is so low, along with the rates, it makes it cheaper to buy today than in 1989. If you're thinking of selling, don't wait. Prices are going up and there's a lack of inventory. Call me. I will help you with your real estate needs. My number is 267-266-5501.
Welcome back to Good News in Real Estate, all positive all the time here on WWDB 860 AM. So now it's time for the Mortgage Mom segment, which is USA,
US, oh my God.
USDA financing. Moo. All right, tell us about this.
All right. Well, it's not USA, it's USDA.
USDA. I know. And I keep picturing a stamp on a piece of meat.
Well, you do get a gallon of milk when you go to closing.
That's
with this
true.
Loan. So.
All right.
But USDA stands for United States Department of Agriculture.
Right.
And it's a loan that's by rural development. So it goes by the population, the dense population of the area. The great thing about this product, it is 100% financing.
Right.
And actually, Green Tree Mortgage Company LP for 2016 and 2017, and we're going to hit it again for 2018, where it was the number one lender with USDA.
Wow.
So that was pretty impressive. The great thing about the USDA financing is there's no PMI, right, and there's no mortgage insurance. So when it comes to 100% financing, they have a fee. It's called a guaranteed fee, and it's 1%, just like your VA loans, and it can be financed into the mortgage.
Right.
There's no loan limits. But there are
No government interference?
Well, that's not really true. Oh. Because there is income limits. So if you look at Burlington County with a two-person household,
right,
goes by the household income, it's $105,000.
Is the bottom minimum?
That's the max. That's the max that you can make for this. You can't exceed $105,000.
This is America, right?
You can also use Social Security. You can also use Social Security as income for this loan. And you can, it's called gross up. So whatever your monthly amount is, you can gross it up to 125% as long as it doesn't exceed the income limit, but you can use that for qualification purposes.
All right, so you can't make over 105 grand.
Correct.
And that's a weird number.
Now the area also has to be eligible. So you would have to actually go into the website.
Which I've done.
And put in the address, and it'll tell you.
Because I got a farm like about a half a mile away from me, but right, I still don't qualify.
Right. When was the last time you looked it up?
Not that long ago.
Okay.
I'll have to look again.
So just for instance, in New Jersey, Burlington County, Gloucester County, Cumberland County, Cape May, Atlantic, a lot of those areas, now you would have to look at the specific cities.
Right.
For instance, Edgewater Park, Medford Lakes, Medford Township, Mount Holly, Pemberton, Chemung, Tabernacle, Washington Township, all those areas are USDA. So every address in that area is USDA approved.
And you just go to the website, put your address in, and
right,
then it tells you.
Right. Now, the great thing that I like about this loan, as well as being 100% financing, all of the closing costs can be financed into the loan, as well as any repairs. So let's say you're purchasing a house, and the sales price is $200,000.
Right.
And you get the appraisal done, and it comes in at $220,000.
Right.
You can use that $20,000 for repairs and to cover all of your closing costs.
Wow.
So if you need to escrow for septic, you can escrow it, and it can be in there. If you need to escrow for the roof or you need to get the roof repaired, all of that can be in your part of your closing costs.
That's cool.
They also have a monthly fee, which is 0.35% of whatever your loan amount is. It's not mortgage insurance. It's a fee, so it's not going to be going directly to
0.35%.
So if your loan is $100,000, you're going to multiply that by 0.350%.
Which is
$350, and you're going to multiply that by 12.
All right.
And that's going to be that monthly fee. Right. It doesn't get paid up front.
Is that for the length of the loan?
For the length of the loan.
Wow.
For the length of the loan. It's 100% financing. Don't forget.
Yeah, that's true. But it's $300 a month, though.
No. It would be $350 a year.
Oh, a year.
Divided by 12, and that's going to be your monthly. So you're still way ahead of the game.
Oh, yeah, that's still good.
Turnaround time is excellent. I mean, this loan is generally underwritten in 24 to 48 hours. It is credit score driven. If you're under a 640, you need to show rental income. If you're over a 640, then there's no rental income that's required. But they do accept alternate trade lines. So let's say you don't have a credit score,
right,
but you've been paying your car insurance for the past 2 years and it's been on time. You can use that as an alternate trade line. Maybe you've been paying Netflix for 24 months. We can show that as an alternate trade line. So it has pretty creative ways of getting the credit analysis done, which I really like.
That's cool.
It's a good loan. There's a lot of areas in Philadelphia or in Pennsylvania, Collegeville, Pottstown, all those areas up in the Poconos. So, I mean, to be able to do something with 100% financing, not have any PMI, it's a win-win situation.
Really?
And be able to put your repairs in the loan.
Is there any right on the border of the city?
Any border?
Any of these areas right on the border of Philly, like Box?
There's a couple. And again, it's going to be, you'd have to put in the property address.
Right.
Because if you go and look at the map of Pennsylvania and it's shaded out, it'll show you certain areas that are USDA approved.
All right.
So it's going to be you could have one house on one side of the street that's USDA approved, and then right across the street it's not, because that's right where the cutoff was.
Right. Well, that's a great loan, USDA.
I love it. I think it's great. And it's a niche. So if there's realtors out there that actually knew the program, they could solicit that as their niche with 100% financing.
Especially if you got a listing in that area.
And plus, you don't have to worry about getting the grants. You don't have to worry about the grant being paid back, because all the closing costs can be rolled in, and it's 100% financing.
Yeah, so if you're an agent and you list a house in that area, half of them probably don't even realize their house is in one of those areas.
Most people don't even know about this loan.
You put that outside on a sign or something, and
right,
no closing cost, blah, 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 blah. I know. People would be really interested.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, that's cool.
So 2019 is going to be, you know, a marketing piece of mine for the USDA loan. And we underwrite them in-house, which is really cool. Just means that we have direct, I can go in and physically talk to the underwriter.
The mysterious underwriter.
Right. And they do not have three heads like everyone thinks. All right. So let's go into our questions. You ready?
All right. What's the first one?
The first one is, I need to find an agent where they have houses for sale in Singapore.
Now, I'm going to give you a tip. Now, here's what I do. I tell the agents to do this, too, because I did one in Belize and one in France. And how I do it is, you know, you could Google. I Google, and particular area they're going to, and I look for a brand name real estate company, you know, one of the brand franchises. And then I call that office, and almost all real estate companies have a receptionist. First thing brokers do.
Right.
But this receptionist knows who's all the top players are.
Sure.
And then I say to the receptionist, I was just talking to one of your top agents, and they got a team, they got all these listings.
What's his name?
And I forgot. I'm blanking on their name.
Right.
And name me a couple of your top agents, and they name me. I said, that's them. And then they connect me with the top agent, and right, I find out who the top agent is in that office. And then they give me that agent, and I have somebody good to take care of me.
And you're set.
and it works.
Perfect.
So it doesn't matter where it's at. There is no boundaries in real estate anymore, you know?
Got it. All right, question number two. Does real estate sold to settle an estate usually sell for low prices?
Not necessarily. Just because it is.
Right.
I mean, if it's a $500,000 great house in a great neighborhood, and that's what they're going for.
Family's not giving it up.
Yeah.
So they get
They're
going to
get. Just because it's an estate doesn't mean you're going to lower the price.
Right.
You know.
Now, if the house needs a lot of work.
And usually, sometimes that's the case because they are estates.
Sure.
Somebody passed away.
Right.
But not necessarily. I told you about that one in Foxy's. It was a $225,000 twin.
Right.
Just nobody wanted to deal with it. And, you know, and it was in great shape.
Yeah. And that's, you know, and even if you need to have work done on that 203K.
Yeah.
Or they even have the conventional home possible, which is a conventional loan where you can do the rehab.
Right. So it's just condition and location is always what determines the price.
Got it. All right. Question number three. Real estate law is enforced by who?
In Pennsylvania and most of the states, it's the Department of the State. And then under the Department of the States are the commissions. In Pennsylvania, it's the Real Estate Commission. So if there's something that happens and somebody files a complaint, the real estate they investigate. And a person from the State Department actually does the investigation. And that's who enforces the law. And these laws are acts. They were passed by the state legislature, and you have to live by the law. So it's enforced. Pennsylvania Real Estate Commission, Jersey Real Estate Commission.
Right.
Most of the time, it's the Real Estate Commission.
All right, number four. When you co-sign for a loan on real estate, does your name go on title of the property? Absolutely. Title, deed, and it also goes on your credit report. So if you co-sign for somebody, you're backing that loan. So if they default, you're responsible. And that person cannot refinance or sell the property without you signing.
Yeah, I didn't think though necessarily just as a co-signer you would be on title.
Mm-hmm. You can go. I mean, you want to be on title.
I know that.
But if you're
co-signing. But I've seen cases where they weren't on title.
It depends on the lender.
And then they added them to the title later.
Right. It depends on the lender.
Right.
But most of the time, if you are purchasing a home and you are co-signing, you can not go on the mortgage, but you're on the note, which is the promise to pay piece.
Right.
All right. Number five, do condominiums need property management companies?
Not necessarily. Like if you as an individual, say you bought three or four houses on the same block in Philadelphia.
Right.
And you decided to condo these things for whatever reason, your reasoning, business reasoning, whatever. And you personally took care of the property management. You don't need it. Now, large condo associations usually hire management companies so they don't have to deal with the day-to-day.
Right.
And the cleaning and the removing snow and collecting the rent and screening applicants and all that stuff. And they'd rather just pay that fee and write it off. So they don't have to do it, but it's the larger ones usually do it.
Very good.
All right.
All right. And coming up next is our guest segment. And today our guest is Maureen Breen with Philadelphia Backyard Chickens. And she's going to talk about bringing back the backyard chickens.
I'm interested in this one. So with that, you're listening to Good News in Real Estate, all positive all the time. We will be right back.
National Title Agency, headquartered at 10001 West Lincoln Drive in Marlton, provides the real estate industry with title searches, title commitments, title insurance, and real estate closings throughout the Delaware Valley. National Title's business model and proactive approach to preparing title commitments, preparation for closing, and attention to detail provides the realtor, attorney, mortgage lender, buyer, and seller with an easy, effective, and hassle-free avenue to closing. These standards enable you to close loans faster, more effectively, and more efficiently than the competition. National Title's commitment to exceeding expectations, reliability, flexibility, and fast, reliable service has made National Title the choice title insurer for the real estate industry throughout the entire area. Give them a call, 856-596-6550, or visit them online at nationaltitle.net. Closings anytime, anyplace, anywhere. Exceeding your expectations.
right, welcome back to Good News in Real Estate, all positive all the time here on WWDB 860 AM. So where are we at, Deanne?
Mark, we are up to our guest segment, and we have Maureen Breen from Philadelphia Backyard Chickens, and we're going to talk about bringing back the backyard chickens.
Hi, Maureen. How are you?
Good, Mark. Thanks.
We've been talking back and forth, and we finally got together here. So I'm very interested in this for a few reasons, but tell us how it all started out. How did this come about?
Well, the chickens were outlawed in Philadelphia in 2004.
And what was the reason for the being outlawed?
I really don't know. I've read the transcripts from city council at the time, and there were some farm animal issues in the Northeast Philadelphia section, but it was a pig and a goat.
And yeah, they're the ones I always heard about.
Yeah, they just kind of threw the chickens in there as well when they defined farm animals and outlawed them. Because, you know, cow, a chicken.
Right.
You don't
There's
want
a
that
lot
next
of big
door.
Difference there. Yeah. And chickens are very social animals. I don't know if a lot of people know that.
Yeah.
But I have a place on a lake, and as soon as I pull up and put music on, all my neighbors will all have chickens, and they all come running down, and they like to hang out with people.
They do. They like to hang out with people a lot, and they're fun to watch in the backyard. It's kind of like sitting there watching a fish tank. You enjoy it, but you feel a little guilty that something so simple can be so enjoyable. But they're great to watch at night.
Right. And they eat all the bugs?
They eat all the bugs. They do. Yeah. All the bugs.
So tell us, so what do you got to do now? And how many can you have and all that kind of stuff?
Well, right now in Philadelphia, they are illegal just because they're a chicken. So you're not allowed to have any. But our Facebook page, Philadelphia Backyard Chickens, has about 1,500 members. Most are in Philadelphia. And my estimate is that there are 5,000 to 6,000 chickens living in the city of Philadelphia.
Really?
Yes, they're everywhere.
Yeah. So you got to get a bill introduced in the city council. Will there be any limits on chicken? Are you going to be allowed to have a rooster?
Probably not a rooster. The rooster is not necessary for egg laying. They're beautiful. They're noisy.
Yeah, the 4 o'clock in the morning stuff is like a little rough.
2 o'clock in the morning, headlights go down the street. Yeah, it's a little rough. It's not a pleasant cock-a-doodle-doo just in the morning. Though Chicago allows roosters.
Really? Roosters, I could see them being a problem. So it'll be female chickens.
Female chickens, the hens.
And how many?
We're open to discussing that with the city. Some cities put limits on it. Some cities don't. We had a hearing down at city council about a year ago that was organized by Al Taubenberger, who is very supportive of chickens. And he brought in a veterinarian who said that a Philadelphia backyard could easily accommodate 4 to 6 hens. And that's a nice number to give a family the eggs that they need on a regular basis.
And my friends at the lake, that's what usually they have, like 4 or 5. And they... lots of eggs. It's every day.
Well, yeah, one a day. She does one a day.
Oh, yeah. And they're good,
wow.
too. Oh, yeah.
Oh, they're awesome.
Oh, they bring them. We get eggs every day. It's cool. They're good, too.
My dog won't eat eggs from the supermarket anymore. She's so accustomed to the backyard chicken eggs. She turns little dog nose up if I try to get one past her.
Yeah, so 4 or 5 chickens or 6 chickens. And that's a good number. That's enough manageable. Mm-hmm. And they're pretty easy to take care of.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, how do you take care of them?
They're real easy to take care of. It's easier. It's more like a cat than a dog in your backyard. You have to feed them. You have to give them water.
Yeah, they're low maintenance.
They really don't produce waste. They produce garden fertilizer. I have kind of a neat setup in my backyard. The neighbor on my right gives me her breadcrumbs and extra food. I feed it to the chickens. And the neighbor on my left wants what I clean out of the coop for his garden. So we've got a little eco cycle going across the 3 properties.
Right. That's right. Because, you know. That's true. That's the way they are.
They're great. They're great at eating the household scraps. I'm actually doing my PhD dissertation on how much we can save in municipal solid waste costs by feeding chickens the household scraps and cut down on the greenhouse gas emissions. They're really good for that. I'm figuring a chicken saves about $15 a year in municipal solid waste costs.
Really?
Yeah. So you put a flock of 4 in the backyard, you're saving $100 a year for the city.
And they'll eat all the scraps?
They're omnivorous. They eat everything that we eat.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the one thing. They feed them up there, but they do give them every once in a while. They do give them like...
Why did I think it was just grain? I like throw in...
Because that's what you see in the TV.
Yeah,
the
that's
movies.
Right.
Right. Television's not right on that one.
Yeah, but
I would love to have a couple chickens.
Yeah, you've got room.
Yeah.
And they're cool. They're very social. It's
I walk around the pool a little bit, hang out.
Yeah, they'll walk around all day. And they stay with you, too.
They do. And they come home to roost at night.
Yeah, and
they do.
They do. As soon as dusk comes, the boys at the lake, I'll be back, and they run down, they open a pen, chickens go in, close the pen. The only thing they worry about is foxes and raccoons and predators.
You have to build your pen in a way that those animals can't get into your chickens.
Yeah, we had one last year. A fox dug under and got in and got the chickens. But now they put a something down so they couldn't go under.
Hardware cloth, probably.
Yeah, but they're like very manageable.
They're very nice. Yeah, they're very friendly.
As soon as it gets dust, they open the pens and the chickens go right in.
They do. They're very quiet at night. Yeah. They can't see that well in the dark, and I think they know they taste good. So they know how to stay, you know, keep a low profile.
Yeah, and so you think you're going to be able to get this passed, or you're going to have a lot of opposition?
There should be no opposition, because most cities out there already have backyard chickens. Philadelphia is really out of the sink on this one. When they outlawed them in 2004, they made reference to Baltimore not having chickens. What do you think Baltimore did in 2006? They brought back the backyard chickens.
Yeah.
So it's happening all the time, all over the country.
Yeah, and as long as it's not roosters. Roosters are the problem, because then, you know, you're waking up early.
You're waking up all night.
Yeah.
But then there's soup on Sunday.
Yeah. But so have you talked to a bunch of different council people yet?
Yeah, we've been trying to meet with different council people. I live in Brian O'Neill's district, so I try to meet with people who live in the other councilmen's districts. We've got a woman in Bobby Heenan's district, two people actually in Bobby Heenan's district, and he's been very responsive speaking with us. I've met with Mark Squilla because of someone in his district. We've got people meeting with Cindy Bass, Curtis Jones.
Hey, you need 9 votes.
9 votes, that's all we need.
Yeah.
Al Taubenberger is very pro-chicken. He actually had a chicken in his office.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. He invited us to bring a chicken down to his office.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're very social. It's
amazing.
You should
get a chicken for your office.
You should have a chicken in your office.
But so nine. How many council people have you talked to?
We spoke with Derek Green, Brian O'Neill, Taubenberger, Squilla, Quinona Sanchez, Curtis Jones. Maybe we've talked to our nine.
Yeah.
To the nine. You know, we're trying to get to talk to more. What we really need is a district council person to introduce this bill.
Have you talked to O'Neill?
I have spoken to someone in his office. I wasn't able to speak with O'Neill himself.
All right. Because times have changed. You know,
times have changed a lot. Actually, when the bill was introduced in 2004, Brian O'Neill says in the record that we can come back and look at this bill later. He just wanted to get us through the summer of 2004. So we really think it's time to come back and look at this bill, especially with what's going on around the entire country with respect to backyard chickens.
Yeah, I don't see it as a big issue at all. And then there'll probably be some requirement of a chicken pen or...
Sure, why not? I mean, there's requirements around all the other animals.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, Austin, Texas has them, and they're paying people to keep backyard chickens. In Austin, Texas, you can get paid $75 to buy a brand new chicken coop to keep chickens because they want you to feed the food scraps to the backyard chickens.
Makes sense.
They're going for zero waste, which we talk about here in Philadelphia, and the chickens can help us a long way.
That's a good approach, too.
Towards getting to zero waste.
That's a good approach.
That's the topic of my PhD dissertation at Westchester.
Oh, wow.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So, like, so now when, where do you get chickens?
You can buy chickens in the mail. They'll send them to you. The last two chickens I got, I purchased in the mail, and they were what's called a pullet. That's kind of a teenager chicken. So they were full size but small. And they came in a box about the size of a box of copier paper. And the day they came into the post office, they called me in the morning and said, the chickens are here. So I went down and I got the chickens and I carried them home and they laid an egg that very day.
That's good. That's good. Because I know my friends, they go somewhere in Bucks County.
There's places that sell them. Davis Feed sells them. Garden Center Primex.
Yeah.
So in the springtime, you'll see places that are selling them as well.
How long does a chicken live for?
They can live for about 10 years when you keep them in captivity.
Wow.
And do they lay eggs that whole time?
No, they don't. They'll stop at about 7 years. They slow down as they get older. You know, younger chickens, they need a certain amount of daylight in order to lay their egg. So the younger chickens need less daylight. The older chickens need a little bit more daylight. And as they get older, they'll lay less eggs, and eventually they'll stop.
Huh.
But they're still lovely pets and companions, and they'll still eat the bugs, and they'll still produce the fertilizer. And they'll still eat the kitchen food scraps to keep them out of the landfill. So they're useful animals through their entire life. And they're great companions.
The only thing my dog don't like, they eat his dog food.
Oh, and then you're eating egg?
Yeah, well, you know, they're eating anyway.
Well, people are less prone to feed the food to their dogs because they worry about the dog's weight and what they're feeding the dogs. And chickens are just kind of household food scrap machines in terms of, and they love all that stuff.
It's cool. Mm-hmm.
I can't eat chicken with eggs.
What do you mean?
I can't eat chicken with eggs. Like sometimes.
A chicken, like a breakfast?
Mm-hmm.
Eggs and chicken?
Like mom and the child at the same time.
Yeah, it's just, I have an issue
with
that.
I never had chicken with eggs.
But because they don't serve it. No, where have you ever seen chicken
I've
with
seen
eggs?
I've seen a menu with eggs and chicken, but it just doesn't, I don't know, chicken in the morning.
It just sounds wrong. It just sounds wrong.
So they're gonna. So this is a plan, get this done in 19?
Absolutely. It's time. It's really time to
And this is a
on.
Good time to go talk to them council people, too, because now, right now, they'll be slow because they won't be that much legislative stuff going on, and it'd be a good time to meet with them.
Well, the district council folks have to respect their districts, so we really need folks who are out there in the other districts to be speaking with their district people. And I think we've got enough folks in the at-larges to come along. Dark Green grew up with chickens.
And if you get your district council person to be on board, I worked in city council years ago, then all the council people usually go along whatever that guy wants in his district or her in his in her district. So you got to really get O'Neill on board here, because if he's on board, it's done deal.
I'd love to have him on board. Love to meet with him and talk about it.
Al's tight with him. You should have Al hook it up.
I'll talk to Al.
Yeah. Al used to actually, I don't know if Al worked for him or not, but that would be a good move to do it that way. Taubenberger.
Yeah, Taubenberger is very pro-chicken. He actually told me I was the first person to lobby him talking about chickens. He came to our homeowners association meeting, and he was real excited about the chickens. He's an ag guy, you know. His undergraduate degree is something in urban ag. Urban agriculture of some sort, yeah. And his daughter's a veterinarian.
Oh. Well, you got to definitely get him involved because he can help with O'Neill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't see the big deal.
Do you have to register them?
In Philadelphia, you don't. What we're really saying is we want equality for the chickens, so we want them to be treated like cats and dogs. You do have to register dogs. I met with some folks at the city, and they said, what do you think about registration? And our position is we're fine as long as it's priced reasonably for what chickens are. We'd like it to be at the household level. We actually think registration is something that the city should want, because if there is ever an issue with chickens, that they're going to know where the chickens are because we're willing to register them. Right now, we're hiding them.
Right.
Put a chip
in
them.
I know some people that actually have chickens.
Everyone does.
And they're just in the backyard, and they have a chicken pen. And what do you do in the winter?
You leave them outside.
They stay out all year round.
They stay out all year round. What do you think you have in your down vest? Feathers. They've got them.
They've got boys up the lake. They have electric pads or something they put in there for them.
It's really not necessary, no. Yeah. What most chickens will do after their first year is they'll go through a molt, and they'll shed their feathers and grow in new feathers for the wintertime. So they've got a brand new down coat covering them. They don't like to go out in the snow sometimes because their feet don't have the feathers on them, and their combs and wattles can experience some things, but they go inside.
Yeah.
So
if it's nasty,
fine.
They just don't come out.
Yeah, our heat is actually more of a problem for chickens around here than our cold. They can handle our cold. You have to do a little bit more to manage them in the heat, make sure they can get to shade.
Yeah.
So they're fine.
Yeah, they do hang in the shade when it's hot out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. And they dig dirt. They make little dirt baths just like sparrows, but they're chicken size.
Yeah. I watch them all the time. Yeah. Like, they come walking down. They love music, man. When the music's on,
you think they lay more
AC/DC,
eggs?
AC/DC, they show right up.
That's just, you think they lay more eggs when the music's playing?
And they have a social order within their little group. I don't know if you've noticed that, but they do have an alpha hen that's in charge. If you throw out a treat, that's the one that comes over first. And the alpha hen will often get like a little bit more color to her towards a rooster, but she's not a rooster.
Right.
So, yeah, within their group.
Yeah, there's a leader for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And then you can raise, right? You can actually, what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
The egg. You can, and you could hatch. What's it called?
Well, you need the rooster.
You need a rooster for that.
There is a township in New Jersey that has basically a rooster gigolo law. You're allowed to have a rooster. You can bring a rooster in for up to 2 weeks a year to do what needs to be done if you want to breed your chickens.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, birds and bees.
All right.
That's
well,
funny.
You'll have to come back and tell us how this bill's going. And bring a chicken.
I can bring a chicken.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Boys would like to see a chicken here.
She, She wears a chicken diaper when she goes out.
Oh, really?
Yes.
All right, so tell everybody how to get a hold of you and your Facebook page and all that.
Our Facebook page is Philadelphia Backyard Chickens, and that's the best place to reach us.
All right, again, you have a phone number if somebody wants to call you?
You can call me at 267-242-5957, and I love to talk all things chicken.
And do you give advice on chickens and all on the Facebook page and all?
We give advice. I also teach chicken keeping. I'm going to be teaching a class coming up at the Mount Airy Learning Tree, and I teach at Primex sometimes as well.
Oh, really? I own a Remax office in Mount Airy. You have to let me know.
Okay.
All right, very good. That was very good having you on. Thank you very much.
That was great. Marie. All right, and coming up next is our business segment with Asking Dr. A.
So with that, you're listening to Good News in Real Estate, all positive all the time. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for a low-rate auto loan? You'll find it and more at the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union. For a limited time, we're offering auto loan rates as low as 2.24% APR for both new and used automobiles up to 66 months. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, call the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union today at 215-934-3500 to speak with a representative. We also finance motorcycle loans. PFCU is member-owned, so all profits go back to the community and back to you as lower fees and better rates. Philadelphia Federal Credit Union. We're not here for our profits. We're here for yours. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right, welcome back to Good News in Real Estate, all positive all the time here at WWDB 860 AM. So where are we at, Deanne?
Mark, we are up to our business segment with Asking Dr. A. And our topic today is questions you should ask while interviewing.
Hi, Doctor. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are the two of you?
I'm great, good. Dr. A. Thank you.
Very good.
And I just wish we would have done this segment like 15 years ago.
Maybe. Yeah, well, actually...
Well, you've only been on the air for 10, so that would have been difficult.
I mean, that's true. But you know what? This is a really hot topic for me right now because I'm interviewing a few people every day. And I actually had a talk with my partner yesterday about these segments and how much I've learned over the last 10 years from you and how important this is. So tell us, what about this interviewing topic today? How do you want to start?
What we're going to do is we're going to give people insight regarding what types of questions to ask in a hiring interview. And I also want to spend a moment on what kinds of questions not to ask, because that's also important, because the ones that you shouldn't ask, you can ask in different ways and still get the same information.
All right. So what should you ask?
Well, let's take a step back, and the question is, what do you need to know to get a really good idea of what the person is like? All right? And what you want to know is you want to know things that specifically relate to the job. So have a list of those things that specifically relate to the job. Okay? And you can ask personal things, but not too personal. Like, you can ask, what are your hobbies? Or what do you really like to do? Okay, on your time off. But you can't ask, let's get into the can't ask as well. You can ask how old they are. You can ask if they're married. You can't ask if they have children. There's a whole set of questions that are equal employment opportunity related questions, okay, that you're not allowed to ask because you can't use them to make a hiring or no hire decision.
I actually went to a human relations seminar yesterday on, and they covered a lot of this with hiring and all the different gender identification things like the Fed.
Right.
The Fed has 6, the city has 17.
17, right.
Yeah. But we talked a little bit about, you know, what you can and what you cannot ask that influences an interview.
Right. Now you can't ask if they have kids or if they're married, but you can ask if there's some things in your personal life that might have an impact on your work life. Okay, that's a very legitimate question, and sometimes people will actually tell you, well, my wife and I, da-da-da-da-da-da, or we have 3 kids, and every once in a while one of them gets sick. They're allowed to answer that way, but you can't ask them specifically what that question is. okay? And you can't ask them anything that's obviously leading that gets something like that, okay? Like, you can't ask them, well, what year did you graduate from high school, okay? You know, because then you could use that to kind of figure out how old they are. You know, so there's things that you can and can't ask, but you can be, you can ask in a way to get people to talk about themselves and to really get them to open up. It's very interesting. That's one of the highlights of using our assessment, because we have multiple sections, and the assessment itself is a structured interview, because they can read the assessment. You can ask them anything in the assessment to explain it more clearly, or give me a specific example when this happened for you, and things of that nature. And that really opens them up and gets them thinking about different things and really feeling more comfortable, because it decreases their defensiveness in some questions, because it's something that the black box, the computer generated, okay, and the questions or the issues and the comments are right there in front of you in black and white on the paper.
And that's all really important. And me, I was talking about this with somebody today, like how important this interview process is. And most people that open a business, they never got any training in how to interview people or hire people.
Correct. And it's real important, because as you're sizing up the person that you're interviewing for the job, they're sizing you up at the same time.
No doubt about it.
Okay. Right. Especially in this marketplace, or any marketplace where unemployment is relatively low. Okay. Because they're going to have options. Just like you have options, they're going to have options. And then it's important to realize that. And the questions that you ask are really important. Now, I'm going to give you one of my favorite questions that I ask near the end of the interview after we've formed the relationship, because it's a way to get people to really start thinking about different things, and it catches them off guard. Okay. And this is one of my two or three really favorite questions.
What is it?
I want you to tell me what something that lives in the air, on the land, or in water that best represents who you are. Something that's living, that's in the land, that lives in the air, or that lives in water, that best represents who you are. And then after they tell you what that is, ask them to tell you why they chose that particular living thing.
So it's not one of each, it's just one.
It's one.
Just one.
It's
okay.
Just one. Something that it either flies, something that lives on the land, or something that lives in water. And then you start talking about that. And that gives you a really significant insight into who they are, because they have to pick something, okay? And that something has characteristics for them.
So that's an interesting question.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about it.
We're like running out of time here, but we got to come back to that next week. I want to talk about that more. So what was it? In the air?
In the air, the land, and in water.
All right. So when we come back next show, I want more insight into that. All right, doctor, tell everybody how to get a hold of you.
It's Abelson, Abelson, at Abelson.net, or www.abelson.net.
All right. Very good, doctor.
Thank you, doctor. I have a wonderful holiday.
I'm looking forward to that segment.
All right.
We're going to have fun with it. See you guys later.
And coming up next is our topic of the day. 4 ways to conquer your fears and take smarter risks.
All right, so after that, we'll be right back.
Thinking of getting a real estate license? It's a great time to get into business with unlimited earning potential. Philadelphia Real Estate Classes. It's a real estate school conveniently located in Philadelphia. They offer day and night classes to get you on your way into the real estate industry. If you plan to do real estate part-time or full-time, getting your license is the first step. Call 215-335-6919. Philadelphia Real Estate Classes has experienced instructors to help gain the insights you need to pass the real estate exam and get your license. It's a great time to get started. Call the Philadelphia Real Estate Classes at 215-335-6919 or visit our website at philadelphiarealestateschools.com. Get a license now.
All right, welcome back to Good News in Real Estate, all positive all the time here on WWDB 860. Where are we at, Deanne?
Mark, we are up to our topic of the day, which is ways to conquer your fears and take smarter risks.
Yeah, now a couple shows back, I started this, but we went long and I really couldn't get into it. We don't have a lot of time today, but I can go through these ways to conquer your fears. Of course, risk taking is only as good as the amount of planning
and the thought you put into it, blind risk taking is never a good idea. And that's what holds most people back is fear. Like I have an agent, she procrastinated for a whole year to hire an assistant. She hired an assistant. Now she's got two buyer agents. She's going to end up doing like $12 million by the end of 19.
That's awesome.
And it was just that fear in the beginning of making a move. So don't be afraid of failure. That's the one thing you got to get out of your system. The worst thing that's going to happen to you is you fail, you learn, maybe you lose a few bucks here and there, but you learned and you fail forward.
Right.
Failure is necessary. Society gets us to fear failure, but none of us would be where we at if we hadn't failed. You didn't make a couple mistakes, like all the stuff we do with Dr. Ray. You know, that keeps us avoiding mistakes.
Right.
Like I used to make lots of mistakes like that. But now I've learned, but I'm not scared of failing.
Right.
Changing how we think of failure is the key. Failure creates opportunity. The more we fail, the quicker we learn, the more chances we have the next time to do something the correct way. Not to mention that without failure, we wouldn't enjoy the successes. Like if everything always worked out, it would be a little boring.
Right. Everything, right,
you get
exactly.
A little failure in there once in a while. You know, it makes you know what a win is, right. You know? So rather than fearing failure, be excited with it. You're one step closer to achieving your goals. The second one I have a serious problem with. Don't be afraid of success. I've had this happen to me two times in my career. I got involved with somebody that had fear of success, which I can't even put my arms around. I figure, let's take a shot, and the worst thing might not work out, but we'll make it work.
Right.
But, and then it starts working, and they got scared.
And they sabotage it.
Of success. Yeah. Much of the time, it's not just the fear of failure that scares people away from taking a risk. It's the fear of success. I had one time, everything we wanted to make happen started happening. And it started taking off like crazy, and he got scared.
Right.
And he wanted to go back to way it was, nice and small. And I was like talking to myself. I was like, I can't grasp that. But that's my personality. Many of us have been indoctrinated to believe that since childhood that we don't deserve to be successful. And that if we're afraid of the attention we'll receive by achieving success. For those reasons, sometimes people shy away from taking big risks. We all deserve to be successful. Next time you consider whether you should play it safe, remember that you deserve success as much as anybody else. Don't be scared of it.
Right.
And when you get it, enjoy it.
Right.
And then you look for something else to do.
You have that internal voice that constantly keeps talking.
Yeah.
You like out of it.
Don't take a risk. Don't take a risk. Right. Let me think about it.
Right.
You know. But the biggest thing about, especially with this economy, I'm looking at 5 to 8 year run, probably this best economy in my lifetime. I'm telling everybody I know, if you're ever going to do anything, do it now.
I'm doing it now.
Because
I mean, I've listened to you and I'm taking the advice.
If you screw up now,
I have
you can recover.
Right.
You know, you screw up in 2010, you could be in bankruptcy.
Screwed. Right.
So,
Excellent. So for 2019, take the risk.
Go for it.
Email your questions to 8029 or give Mark a call at 267-266-5501. You can email me at DeanneKetsaris@comcast.net or give me a call at 609-605-7153.
And a special thanks to all of our sponsors and Maureen for being our guest today about the chickens. That was cool. And for all of our faithful listeners that tune in each week.
If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest on our show, give us a call, 267-266-5501.
So with that, have a great week. I'm Mark Cumberland.
I'm Deanne Katsaris, your mortgage mom.
You've been listening to Good News in Real Estate.
All positive, all the time.